on any subject matter. In Indian tradition, it's very important to begin the text with a prayer. Nothing is done, not only the books, writing the books. In anything, whatever we start doing, we always pray in order not to have obstacles in anything we want to do. So we invoke the grace of the Lord for the successful completion of anything that we do. So here also, there is a verse in the very beginning written by the author of the text. And it is called benedictory verse. Mangala Vachaka Shlokaha. Mangala Vachaka Shlokaha is a benedictory verse. The verse of benediction. Who exactly wrote this book? We do not know. The author has not given his name. But in this benedictory verse, the author mentions his teacher's name. So from the name of the teacher, therefore we make out that this author of the book must have come in that lineage. There's a lineage of the order of sannyasis, the teachers of Kanchi Math. Kanchipuram is a place in south of India. And these teachers who come in the order of Kanchi Math, they all have this title Indra Saraswati, like we all have Ananda Saraswati, Dayananda Saraswati. Ananda Saraswati is the order. And Kanchi Math, the teachers who hail from Kanchi Math, the lineage, they belong to the order of Indra Saraswati. Just the title, that's all. That's a difference in teaching. Indra Saraswati, like Chandrasekharendra Saraswati, Vijayendra Saraswati. That Indra Saraswati is the common name of the people who come from one order of lineage of teachers. So this author of Tattvabodha also must be belonging to that Indra Saraswati order of Kanchi Matam. One sadhu of some time must have written this book. We cannot trace the date, we cannot trace exactly the name, everything. Again, people don't write their names because they never wanted any credit. Let us read the first verse. So along with the teacher, along with the author of the text, we also read this verse for a successful completion of the text. He wanted to complete the text successfully in his writing, and we want to complete the text successfully in understanding the text. Om Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Mumukshunam Hitarthaya Tattva Bodho Bhidhiyate Vasudevendra Yogindram Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum Mukshunam Hitarthaya Tattva Bodho Bhidhiyate. So here Abhidhiyate is written, is revealed, presented. Abhidhiyate, presented, is presented. And what is presented here? Tattva Bodha Abhidhiyate. The textbook known as Tattva Bodha is presented here. Tattva Bodho Bhidhiyate means Tattva Bodha Abhidhiyate. Remember, this is a benedictory verse. It's an opening verse of the textbook. So, Tattva Bodha Abhidhiyate means knowledge of the truth. The textbook known as Tattva Bodha, meaning knowledge of the truth, is presented here. So, whenever the textbook is presented, it must serve a purpose. What is the purpose? For whose sake it is? Hitarthaya. Hitartham. Hitartham. For the easy understanding. for the benefit of. Hitartham means hitartha, means for the benefit. For the benefit of mumukshunam. You know that word mumukshu? Mumukshunam hitarthaya. For the benefit of those who are aspiring for the attainment of freedom. For the benefit of those who are aspiring for the attainment of freedom. This book is presented. Mukshunam hitarthaya. Hita artha hitarthaha. Hitarthaya, hitarthaha means benefit. Hitarthaya for the benefit of mukshus. Tattavodaha abhidiyate. Now, what does the word mukshuhu mean? It is presented for the benefit of mumukshus. What does the word mumukshu mean? Mumukshu is a desiderative word, which means the one who is aspiring for moksha. Moksha means freedom, liberation. And here, freedom from the unwanted, undesirable sorrow. Freedom from the unwanted, undesirable limitations. Freedom from limitations. Freedom from the unwanted, undesirable sorrow. Unhappiness is freedom here. Not freedom from the Tattvabodha class. Freedom from the unwanted, undesirable unhappiness, sorrow, problems of life. Freedom from limitations is meant by the word of freedom, which means moksha. Moksha means freedom. And mukshu means the one who wants freedom. One who desires for freedom. One who is desirous of attaining freedom. One who is desirous of attaining freedom is mumukshu. Is a ukarantaha pullingaha mukshu shabdaha. Like guru. The word mukshunam, positive plural, of mumukshus, of those people who are aspiring for moksha, aspiring for freedom. So the Sattvabodha is presented for the benefit of those who are aspiring for freedom from limitations. Tattvabodha is presented for the benefit of those who are desperately seeking freedom from unwanted, undesirable unhappiness. People who are aspiring for happiness. For the benefit of those who are aspiring for happiness. This book entitled as Tattvabodha is presented. Now we get to understand one thing. Oh, the meaning of the text, the meaning of the word Tattvabodha is knowledge of the truth. But this book, which is a knowledge of the truth, is presented here for the benefit of those who are aspiring for moksha, which means this knowledge must be the means of attaining moksha. Knowledge of the truth must be the only means of attaining moksha, attaining freedom from limitations. So knowledge of the truth must be the only means of discovering happiness, discovering freedom. So we understand the connection by ourselves. When it is said, this Tattvabodha is presented for the benefit of those who are aspiring for moksha, we ourselves can make out from this very sentence, knowledge of the truth is the only means of attaining or attainment of moksha, freedom from limitations. So mukshunam hitarthaya tattva bodhaha abhidhiyate. The second line, the author of the textbook mentions the purpose of presenting this text called Tattvabodha. Kimartham Tattvabodha Abhidiyate. The question is asked. Tattvabodha Kimartham Abhidiyate. What is the purpose of presenting the textbook Tattvabodha? Made very clear. Mukshunam Hitarthaya Tattvabodha Abhidiyate. But how is it presented? The author wants to make it very clear. How is it presented? It is not carelessly presented. Intensely, fervently, seeking the grace of the Lord. Intensely, fervently, praying to the Lord. Seeking the grace of the Lord. This book is presented. When you seek the grace of the Lord, we invoke the grace of the Lord intensely, fervently, with great reverence alone we invoke the grace of the Lord. So the teacher says, Jnana Pradam Gurum Natva. This book is presented having bowed to Natva. Natva is an indeclinable participle, which means having bowed. What is the root? Nam is the root. Namati is the verb. Namati bows, bends. And here, Natva means having bowed to. And having bowed to whom? Gurum. Having bowed to the teacher. Guruhu, Gurum, the objective case. Having bowed to the teacher, Gurum Natva. Here, the teacher invokes the grace of the Lord in the form of his own teacher. Bowing to the teacher is in fact another form of bowing to Bhagavan. Because Bhagavan is all pervasive. The Lord is all pervasive. All that is here is the Lord. And we ourselves being part of the whole, and the Lord is the whole, and we're part of the whole, how can we bow to the whole? How can the part of the whole bow to the whole? Is it possible? It is not possible. When yourself, you are part of the whole, how can you bow to the whole? It is very difficult. Therefore, we always have a symbol, we always have an altar which stands for the whole. A symbol which stands for the whole. We always have an altar for Bhagavan. We always have an altar of Bhagavan, the Lord. A symbol which stands for the Lord, the whole. And here, that symbol, this author sees his own teacher as the symbol. His own teacher, his own guru, symbolizes, represents, stands for the Lord, the whole. So the teacher invokes the grace of the Lord in the form of his own teacher. So he pays his respects to his teacher. So he pays his obeisance to his teacher. So he says, Natva, having bowed to the Lord in the form of my teacher, Gurum Natva, having bowed to the teacher. And the teacher is called Guruhu. Guru is a teacher. Guruhu must be a teacher, even though all teachers are not gurus. A guru must be a teacher. A teacher means what? He or she must be a communicator. He or she must articulate, teach. All teachers need not be gurus, but guru must be a teacher. Why the teacher is called the Guruhu? Because guru removes the darkness of ignorance. The teacher is said to be the Guruhu because he removes the darkness of ignorance. The word Guruhu has many meanings. Guruhu, visarga, ukaranta pullinga shabdaha, gu, The letter Gu stands for darkness of ignorance. Ru stands for removal. So Guruhu means the one who dispels the darkness of ignorance. So having bowed to the teacher who dispels the darkness of ignorance, which ignorance? Not physics, chemistry ignorance, not ignorance of computer science, JavaScript, not, he removes the ignorance of truth, ignorance of the reality. Here, the teacher is highly revered. Of course, any teacher is revered in Indian culture. We have great respect for all our teachers. Whoever teaches mathematics, physics or chemistry, whoever teaches any fine art, you would have seen in India, even the dance teachers, music teachers, any teacher is bowed to. And here the teacher is the one who gives the knowledge of the truth, the bestower of knowledge of the truth. Thereby he removes the ignorance of the truth. So having bowed to the teacher who dispels the darkness of ignorance of the truth. So how does he dispel the darkness of ignorance? Simply sitting there by touching, by teaching pranayama, by teaching meditation, by teaching something else, yoga asanam, by teaching how to, by simply sitting, keeping you remaining in silence. No, by giving the knowledge of the truth. Jnana pradam gurum natva. So having bowed to the teacher who dispels the darkness of ignorance, the bestower of knowledge. Jnana pradaha guruhu. So jnana pradaha is an adjective for the word guruhu. Jnana pradaha guruhu. Jnanam means knowledge. You know very well. Pradaha means pradaha, daha means giver, bestower. Jnanasya pradaha, jnana pradaha. Bestower of knowledge, giver of the knowledge, of the truth. Pradadati jnanam prakarshena dadati iti jnana pradaha. Jnanam prakarshena dadati iti jnana pradaha. When the teacher bestows knowledge, he gives his best without hiding anything, without keeping any secret. Therefore, prakarshena dadati, without distorting the teaching, without changing anything what is said in the scripture, whatever is said in the text, the scripture, without distorting it, without changing it, and without hiding it, covering it, he gives. Therefore, jnana pradaha, the bestower of the knowledge of the truth, and him, so jnana pradam gurum natva, having bowed to the teacher who removes the darkness of ignorance, who bestows the knowledge of the truth. Having bowed to the teacher, the bestower of knowledge, jnana pradam gurum natva, mumukshunam hitarthaya tattva bodha abhidiyate. This text is presented for the benefit of those who aspire for freedom from limitations. Having bowed to the teacher, the bestower of knowledge of the truth. And who is the teacher? He mentions the name of the teacher. Vasudevendra Yogindraha. వాసుదేవేంద్ర యోగీంద్ర వాసుదేవేంద్ర సరస్వతి మస్ట్ హ్యావ్ బీన్ ద నేమ్ ఆఫ్ ది టీచర్ ఆఫ్ ది ఆథర్ వాసుదేవేంద్ర అండ్ హీ సో వాసుదేవేంద్ర వాసుదేవేంద్రం జ్ఞానప్రదం గురుం నత్వా బట్ హియర్ యోగీంద్ర యోగీనాం ఇంద్ర యోగిషు ఇంద్ర యోగీంద్ర యోగీ ఇంద్ర ఇట్స్ అ కాంపౌండ్ వర్డ్ యోగీనాం ఇంద్ర యోగిషు ఇంద్ర ఇస్ యోగీ ఇంద్ర కాంపౌండ్ వర్డ్ దెన్ యు గెట్ సవర్ణ దీర్ఘ సంధి యోగీంద్ర ఇంద్ర The word Indra has different meanings in different contexts. But here Indraha means the exalted among the yogis. So having bowed to the teacher, the bestower of the knowledge, Vasudevendra, the exalted among the yogis, exalted among wise people. So yogi also has different meanings, but here understand wise people. The exalted among the wise people, Vasudevendra, having bowed to him, the bestower of knowledge, this book textbook called Tattva Bodha is presented here for the benefit of mumukshus. Those who aspire for the attainment of freedom. Vasudevendra Yogindram. Vasudevendra Yogindram. Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum. Natva Jnana Pradam Gurum. Mumukshunam Hitarthaya. ముముక్షూణాం హితార్థాయ తత్వబోధోభిధీయతే వాసుదేవేంద్ర యోగీంద్రం జ్ఞానప్రదం గురుం నత్వా ముముక్షూణాం హితార్థాయ తత్వబోధః అభిధీయతే సో హియర్ ద టీచర్ ఇన్వోక్స్ ద గ్రేస్ ఆఫ్ ద లార్డ్ For the successful completion of the text, to remove all the obstacles in writing, in completing. So he invokes the grace of the Lord in the form of his own teacher. Is it possible to invoke the Lord's grace in the form of a teacher? If the student has reverence for the teacher, it is possible. When does a person have reverence for the teacher? The teacher does not demand respect from the student. The teacher commands respect. How? The teacher just without any demand, the teacher does his job of teaching. The teaching is not teacher's own creation. When the teacher teaches with his great reverence for his teacher and the teaching, the teacher's reverence is for the teaching and the teacher's teacher. His or her teacher itself will command the respect. And the teaching, reverence for the teaching comes when the teaching is found non-contradictory. As you're listening to the teacher, having faith in the teaching, you listen to the teaching. As you're listening and the teaching gradually contributes for your enhancement of clarity, gradually. And as your clarity enhances, you also find the teaching nowhere contradicts your reasoning. That is how you accept the teaching, you understand the teaching, and you discover respect, reverence for the teaching. You can't mechanically accept anything. the teaching does not contradict your reasoning. And also gradually it enhances your clarity. Therefore, every time the thinnest layer of vagueness resolves as you're listening, naturally there's a joy and you discover reverence for the teaching, and naturally you discover reverence for the teacher through whom the teaching comes. And when you have clear vision, it is possible for the person, student, to invoke the grace of the Lord in form of teacher. We understand even the concept of Lord. It is easy for you to see everything as is the Lord. It's easy to relate to the teacher also as the Lord. It's a question of time and understanding. With this, the first verse, the benedictory verses over, let us move on to the next. The whole text is in the form of a prose. Sadhana Chatushtaya, the first, the opening sentence after the benedictory verse is this: Tatva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikarinam Tatva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. I'm saying first sentence, not in the full sentence. I'm just taking one sentence there. Tatva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. I'm going one by, until all of you get the textbook, let me do like this. Tatva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. The teacher says, Vakshyamaha, we shall say, we shall reveal, we shall speak here. What? Prakaram. Prakaraha means the mode. So in this textbook, a mode is going to be said. What is the mode? Prakaraha, prakaram vakshyamaha. The mode of discriminative understanding of the truth. Tatva vivekaha. Tatvasya vivekaha. Tatva vivekaha. Tatva viveka prakaraha means the mode of discriminative understanding of the truth. Tattvam, again, you know the truth. Tattvasya vivekaha, tattva vivekaha. Vivekaha means discriminative understanding. Vivichya jnanam vivekaha. And prakaraha, mode. How can we have discriminative understanding of the truth? What is real? What is not real? So discriminative understanding of what is real, thereby what is not real, is what? Vivekaha. And there is a method. How can you understand? How can you have the discriminative understanding of what is real, what is not real? We cannot know just by like that. There is a method. There is a mode. So the teacher says here, we are going to see in this textbook, we are going to teach in this book the mode of the method of discerning the truth. The method of discerning the truth, the method of the discriminative knowledge of the truth, the method of discerning the truth, reality. Tatva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. So already the teacher himself makes it very clear. If we read the book, if you understand the contents of this textbook, we will know the mode of discerning the truth, the method of discriminative understanding of the truth. Tatva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. Now, already the teacher made it very clear. The very first line, the opening benedictory verse, knowledge of the truth is presented for those who are aspiring for moksha, which means knowledge of the truth must be the means of attainment of freedom. We understood that. Therefore, once the purpose is very clear, so attainment of freedom is the ultimate purpose. Attainment of freedom is the ultimate purpose. And for attaining freedom, knowledge of the truth is the means. Therefore, we need to know what the truth is. Now we know the value of the knowledge of the truth because it's a means of attainment of freedom. So knowledge is the means, freedom is the end, goal. And for attaining knowledge, you need a means of knowledge. For which is a textbook, this is the means of knowledge. And in this book, how to discern the truth, how to have the discriminative understanding of what the reality is, what the reality is not. Therefore, that method is to be unfolded. So, he says, Tattva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. And who are the people who are eligible for this knowledge? When the teacher is going to say, the eligible students for whose sake this method of discerning the truth is said here, the teacher does not mean those who are not qualified for this knowledge should not study, should not give up the study and go away. No. What the teacher means is those who are not qualified should know what the qualifications are so that the unqualified person can make all possible efforts to become qualified for this knowledge. Therefore, he says, Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikarinam. Sadhana Chatushtaya Sampanna Adhikarinam. Moksha Sadhana Bhutam Tattva Viveka Prakaram Vakshyamaha. So, Moksha Sadhana Bhutam. This discerning the truth, the discriminative understanding of the truth is the means, sadhana bhutam. Sadhanam means what? Means. Sadhana bhutam means that which is there as the means. So the discriminative understanding of the truth is the means of the attainment of freedom. Moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. So we shall unfold here the method of discerning the truth, which is the means of attainment of moksha. Moksha sadhana bhutam. She made very clear. If you are not interested in moksha, then there's no point in understanding the truth. The very desire for knowing the truth, desire for knowledge of the truth must be there. Is possible only if you know what is that you can gain by knowing the truth. Word is made very clear. Mokshaha. Freedom. We discussed many times. Mokshaha is a choiceless end. Freedom from limitations is a choiceless end. Because freedom from limitations means freedom from unhappiness, freedom from sorrow, freedom from problems of life, which implies happiness, fullness. Who does not want happiness always? Who does not want happiness everywhere? Who does not want happiness with everybody? Everybody wants happiness always with everybody everywhere. That is why happiness is a choiceless end. And moksha implies happiness. that mokshaha, if it comes newly, definitely it will not last forever. And we are 100% clear, the mokshaha cannot have a beginning. Happiness cannot have a beginning. Why? Because if happiness has a beginning, it will come to an end. If it's going to end and we do, it's not worth working for such an happiness which is going to go away. Therefore, it is already made very clear, happiness has no beginning. Happiness has no end. Happiness is something which is already there, always there. And therefore, it is already there means we are not attaining happiness. We are only discovering happiness. So discovering happiness is a choiceless end. And here, moksha sadhana bhutam. And the only means of discovering happiness, the non-arriving, non-departing, everlasting happiness is in understanding what the truth is. Therefore, knowledge of the truth is the means of discovering happiness. So you can say discovery of truth is the discovery of happiness. Therefore, he says, moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. We shall explain the mode of discerning the truth, the method of discriminative knowledge of the truth, which is the only means of attainment of moksha. Very clear. Which means there's no other way of discovering happiness. If you want to discover happiness, in fact, if you want to be happy always, everywhere with everybody, you must have happiness. For you to have happiness, you cannot attain, you must only discover happiness. And to discover happiness, you must discover the truth. There is no other way of discovering happiness other than discovering the truth. Discovering the truth itself is discovering happiness. They're identical. Therefore, it is said, moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. We shall explain the mode of, the method of discerning the truth, discriminative understanding of the truth, the only means of the attainment of moksha. Moksha sadhanam bhutam. Now, for whose sake? Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. So, this mode of discerning the truth, the method of discriminative knowledge of the truth, which is the only means of attainment of freedom, is explained for those who are qualified. Adhikarinam. Adhikari means, in Tamil language, people mistake it for officer. The word adhikari means the one who has the right is mistaken to be adhikari. Here, adhikari means the one who is qualified, one who has adhikaraha. Adhikaraha means eligibility, qualification. Adhikari means the one who is qualified. One who is endowed with the qualification, one who is eligible, one who has eligibility. Adhikarinam. And here also, it is made very clear, this method of discriminative knowledge of the truth, the only means of attainment of freedom, is explained here for those who are qualified for knowledge. Adhikarinam, for those who are qualified for knowledge. Adhikarin shabdaha, nakarantaha pullingaha adhikarin shabdaha. It's a masculine gender word, adhikarin. அதிகாரஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்தி இதி அதிகாரி. அதிகாரஹ அஸ்ய அஸ்தி இதி அதிகாரி. சோ அதிகாரினாம் தோ ஃபார் தோஸ் ஹூ ஆர் குவாலிஃபைடு. சோ பொசிட்டிவ் கேஸ் பட் யூஸ் தி சென்ஸ் ஆஃப் ஃபோர்த் கேஸ் ஃபார் தோஸ் ஹூ ஆர் குவாலிஃபைடு. அண்ட் ஹூ ஆர் தோஸ் பீப்புள் ஹூ ஆர் குவாலிஃபைடு ஃபார் தி அட்டைன்மெண்ட் ஆஃப் திஸ் நாலேஜ் which is the only means of attainment of freedom. Who are those people who are qualified for this knowledge? He said, sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. The adhikari, the eligible candidate, the eligible student, the student who is qualified for this knowledge is the one who is endowed with fourfold qualification. The student who is eligible for this knowledge is the one who is endowed with fourfold qualification. Don't worry. Just be in the class. The teacher, not me, the author of the book, will take us step by step. He'll make it everything he himself will clarify. The text itself is going to present questions and the answers. We'll see everything. So adhikari, as I said, the one who is eligible. Adhikaraha, eligibility. The one who is eligible. So adhikarinam, for those who are qualified for the attainment of knowledge. And which is the only means of attainment of freedom. So this book is presented. Then the question is, what are the qualifications? He says, who are endowed with the fourfold qualifications. Sadhana chatushtayam. Please see the word sadhana chatushtayam. Sadhanam means qualification. Again, the word sadhanam means. Chatushtayam means a set of four. Chatwari means four. So chatwari means four. Chatushtayam means a set of four. Pustaka chatushtayam, a set of four books. Pushpa chatushtayam, a set of four flowers. Mahila chatushtayam, a group of four women. Purusha chatushtayam, a group of four men. Chatushtayam means a group of four, a set of four. Anything in four is chatushtayam. And here, fourfold qualification. Sadhana chatushtayam. So who is adhikari? Who is eligible for the attainment of knowledge of the truth? Those people who are endowed with the fourfold qualifications are the people qualified, eligible for the attainment of knowledge. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam mukshunam moksha sadhana bhutam tattva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. The teacher tells, we shall explain here the mode of discerning the truth, which is the only means of discovering happiness for those people who are endowed with fourfold qualification. Now, this sentence tells, it is not enough if we simply aspire for the knowledge of the truth. It is easy to have desire for attaining anything. But when we want to attain something, we must also make appropriate, adequate efforts to attain moksha. In terms of knowledge, we have to attain the knowledge of the truth. To attain the knowledge of the truth, we must be qualified. And therefore, what is implied is, the knowledge of the attainment of knowledge of the truth presupposes the qualification there must be, there's a prerequisite qualification. I told you many times in the class, whoever wants to do PhD must have masters, must have done masters in any given discipline. One must be adequately qualified to become more qualified. Totally unqualified cannot become more qualified. One must be qualified to become more qualified. So here also, to have the knowledge of the truth, one must be qualified. And that qualification is what? In fact, discovery of the truth is much more than any number of PhDs. You know, discovery of the truth is much more, because no PhD, no other subject matter, even if we do postdoctoral fellowship in any other subject matter, will not free you from bondage, will not free you from limitations. No other art will free you from the hold of unhappiness, sorrow, will not free you from the hold of emotions, anger, hatred, fear, anxiety, etc. Nothing will free you from the hold of all these things. It is this knowledge of the truth which alone can free you from the hold of emotions such as anger, fear, anxiety, etc. It is this knowledge of the truth which alone can free you from limitations for good, free you from bondage of birth and death for good. And this is, that's why this knowledge of the truth is much more, incomparably far different from any knowledge. Knowledge of any other discipline involves prerequisite qualification. And this knowledge of the truth also has a prerequisite qualification, that one must be qualified for this jnanam. In this context, the author implies the qualifications required for this jnanam. Not to think that, oh, I am not qualified, so I shall not, I do not deserve this knowledge. I am not eligible for this knowledge. So why should I make efforts unnecessarily? Let me give up my effort of attaining jnanam. No, it is not for having such a thought. But qualifications are mentioned so that we will like to know what those qualifications are. And if we do not have those qualifications, we can make efforts to have those qualifications. We will make all possible efforts to become qualified for the attainment of knowledge. Therefore, in order to make a spiritual aspirant to understand the importance of being qualified for this jnanam, to understand if a person is not qualified, to make efforts to become qualified, the author, the very first sentence, mentions that this knowledge here is unfolded for those who are eligible for this knowledge. And those who are eligible for the knowledge are those who are endowed with the fourfold qualification. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam mumukshunam moksha sadhana bhutam tatva viveka prakaram vakshyamaha. In one small line, it's a long line. In one line, the teacher packs so much. And hereafter, we are going to have binary answers, like how we all want to ask questions in between. So here also, the teaching is going to be presented in the form of a dialogue. Usually, the teaching is always presented in the form of a dialogue between the teacher and student and the teacher. And our Upanishads always present the teaching in the form of a dialogue. And here also, in Bhagavad Gita, of course, you would have noticed the whole teaching is in the form of a dialogue between Krishna and Arjuna. So here also we have the teaching is presented in the form of a dialogue. So the student asks a question, the teacher answers. So even the way the teaching is presented in the textbook teaches us a lesson that the teaching must be from the teacher. Pursuit of knowledge should not be done independently. One must pursue the knowledge only with the help of the teacher. One cannot study and understand the scriptures independently without the proper unfoldment. For proper unfoldment, one must know how to unfold the meaning of the words of the scripture. To unfold the meaning of the words of the scripture, the teacher must have understood a method of unfoldment. And a method of unfoldment is built in the very textbook, and for which the teacher must have studied under the guidance of another teacher. Only when a person studies the scripture under the guidance of another teacher, who would have studied under the guidance of another teacher, would have known the method of unfolding the meanings of the words. It is called the teaching, traditional teaching, a methodology. It is called sampradaya. Sampradayaha means the traditional teaching method of unfoldment. The traditional teaching methodology is called sampradayaha. So the teacher is a teacher only if he knows how to unfold the meaning of the words. So in other contexts, I would have told you, the teacher is the one who is a sampradaya with, the one who knows the method of unfoldment. Sampradayaha. We take that word, it is beautiful. Samyak prakarshena diyate iti sampradayaha. How the teaching is given, how the knowledge is imparted. The teacher does not simply say anything as his own. The teacher has got the vision, the teacher has got the clarity from some other source. The source, the original source is the text Veda. And Veda comes through his teacher and has got it from him. The original source of information, source of knowledge is Veda, the scripture. And the one who has studied the scripture and he has got the knowledge of the script, vision of the scripture. And he passes it on. He gives it. So prakrishena, samyak prakrishena, diyate, iti sampradayaha. So that which is handed over, handed down, without any distortion, carefully, prudently, properly, without any distortion, that which is handed over is sampradayaha, is the teaching. Therefore, one who knows that methodology is called sampradaya, is called sampradaya with. It is very important to pursue knowledge under the guidance of a teacher. Therefore, to emphasize the importance of pursuing knowledge, studying the scripture with the help of a teacher, here also the teaching is given in the form of a dialogue. Why the teaching is given in the form of a dialogue? For which the answer is this. So the teacher in the very beginning only tells, we shall present, we shall explain the method of discerning the truth, the method of discriminating knowledge of the truth for those who are endowed with fourfold qualification, thereby who are eligible for the attainment of the knowledge. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna. Sampanna means the one who is endowed with. Sadhana chatushtaya sampanna adhikarinam. For those people who are eligible, and this method of discerning the truth, which is the only means of attainment of moksha, we shall explain. So immediately, what should be the question we should have? Now we should not be interested in moksha. We should be, our focus need not be in moksha or jnanam now. The question is, what are those fourfold qualifications? Of course, I'm interested in moksha. I'm desperate for moksha. Now that we don't need to say we are desperate. Shastram addresses our problem thoroughly. Shastram already knows we are desperate for moksha. Therefore, Shastra, what we need is only the knowledge of the truth. Then moksha is, in knowing the truth, moksha is. But what we lack here is, we have desire for moksha. Thank God, Shastram need not create desire for moksha. Shastram helps us discover our desire for moksha. Is desire for moksha created in you? Is it created in you? It is natural. I told you many times in my introduction to Vedanta classes, desire for freedom from limitations is not a cultivated desire. It is a natural emotional urge. Like your hunger and thirst. Your hunger is natural, biological, the physical urge. Your thirst is expression of your natural physical urge. So you have to drink when you are thirsty. You can delay, but you have to drink sometime or the other. You have to eat when you are hungry. It means there is no choice. You have to address those natural physical urges in terms of hunger and thirst. It is not a cultivated desire for you to just leave it. Oh, I want to buy this iPhone 10. Because you're happy with a 7 or 6 plus. But you come to know the 10 has come. Then Apple, they know our weakness. And you have to update. Otherwise you will be useless. You can't enjoy anything. So you cultivate your desire by knowing that iPhone 10 is available. But you don't cultivate your desire for eating and for drinking. It is natural urges. So cultivated desires need not be fulfilled, but natural urges have to be fulfilled, addressed. Similarly, you have to eat, you have to drink to appease your hunger, to quench your thirst. Similarly, you have to know the truth for what? For you to fulfill your emotional urge. I want to be happy. I want to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody. So desire for happiness is a natural emotional urge. Desire for happiness is desire for freedom. Desire for moksha is a natural emotional urge. That is why moksha is a choiceless end, is a natural emotional urge. It is not your cultivated desire. Therefore, you have no choice. You had to fulfill this. So Shastram helps you discover this desire, natural emotional urge, which is already there in you. It is not created by you. It is already naturally there in you. Therefore, moksha sadhana bhutam, and for addressing that natural emotional urge of wanting to be happy always, everywhere, with everybody, only means is attainment of knowledge. And the Shastram serves as a means of knowledge. So we are studying the Shastram. And here the Tattvabodha teacher tells this method of discerning the truth, which is the only means of discovering freedom, is explained here for those who are endowed with the fourfold qualification. How to become qualified, etc., we will see next class. There, what he means, the teacher also implies, whatever he is capable of presenting today, giving today, is because of the parampara's grace. The whole lineage of teachers who have been preserving this teaching and through whom the teaching has been flowing downwards until this day. The present teacher is only another one more pipe through which the same source is flowing. Therefore, when you say, we shall explain what, why vakshyamaha, we shall explain, we imply, of course I shall explain, I'm going to explain. And this teaching is not just my own creation, it has been coming downwards from time immemorial through the unbroken lineage of teachers. Of course, I'm going to explain that he includes also other teachers, we can say. Otherwise also, even we can say, even though the teacher is a single, there's one person, but there's a in tradition and culture, we always use plural word. Om Purnamadah Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnamevavasishyate Om Shanti 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 Hari Om Tat Sat Shri Gurubhyo Namaha Hari Om.